Welcome to the John, Paul, and Mike Show! This week, we are sitting down with another esteemed group of candidates from our region in the upcoming civic election on November, 15th, Johnny?
Yeah!
See, like, if we were really tuned in, I would just know this right away, right?
That's okay.
Nobody pays attention to municipal elections.
Oh, I see.
So we are. And we're pretty excited. We've got a young crowd again, and it's great to see younger folks, and by that we mean younger than John, getting involved and putting their names out there. And I think in sort of my bugbear is representing the actual demographics of our culture and of our city and of our region. So we're going to start this morning with Niall Peltiel, who is council candidate in Central Saanich. Niall, we've had you on the show before. You're one of the few that we actually allowed back. So.
Well, thank you very much for having me back.
It's a special honor, I know. Tell us why.
Just a sec. Yep. Because I might interrupt, Niall. How about we allow, let's introduce who else is sitting here, because they can't see, of course.
And people might not have read the really long show notes before they listen.
Right, so the privilege of this show is that your second visit, you get bald. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The entire show is about Niall.
It's actually an intervention.
How are you thinking, running for council? So we also have with us today Aaron Bremner, who's a council candidate in Sydney.
Good morning.
Welcome and good morning. And we also have Ryan Windsor, who is a mayoral candidate in Central Saanich.
That's exactly what I am, Paul.
Yeah. Awesome.
And they're all young. Yeah. And they're all inspiring and all very courageous. And so welcome to the show.
Listen, I've sat at a council table now for 18 months. I've learned that humor is an essential part of this job.
Well, we'll get a lot of that today.
Fair enough. Niall, tell us why you decided to run.
Yes, well, I am somebody who is actively engaged in policy and public administration, so somebody who understands necessary service delivery. I think I looked around and said, you know, the issues that we continue learning about and talking about, such as aging infrastructure, climate change, and debt being put onto future generations, I thought, well, I am part of the future generation, and perhaps it's time for us to, instead of just talking about it, perhaps it's time to step up to the plate, start taking some real leadership and taking some accountability for our decisions in civic politics.
Okay, and I know we're going to ask our other two candidates here the same question, but I am interested at some point in knowing why now has the decision been made to say we are going to get involved. Don't answer that right away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what was the trigger? Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. I'd like to know.
All right, and next up we have Aaron Bremner, who is a council candidate in Sydney. And if you recognize the name as I did, you'll probably remember it from D.G. Bremner and Company, the family business in Sydney, which Aaron's been involved with. So welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you very much. We also have Babaloo Children's Boutique on Beacon across the street for people with little people.
I have a few of those.
Yes.
My little person got bigger. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My little person was in Ottawa yesterday.
I saw that on Twitter.
Little people become big people, and then they'd have to deal with big stuff.
But she's safe.
She is safe.
That's a relief.
She works with Elizabeth May as an intern. Yeah.
For those who are listening, we're recording this the morning following the shooting in Ottawa. So if we all seem a little on edge, I'm sure that's part of it. But
yeah.
we're moving on, and we got some big things to talk about today. So Aaron, what inspired you to run for Sydney Council?
My parents have always led by example by giving back to their community, by always helping others. Now, as a parent myself, I'd like to lead by example. I've had an emotional attachment to Sydney since I started working in the family business in 2006, and I believe the time is right. For many reasons, it's time to see a transition between the people that are leading our communities. I feel as though I've gained a lot of knowledge and history over the past 8 years, working with the Business Improvement Area Society, the Sydney Merchants Co-op, the previous Sydney Business Association, the Community Arts Council of the Saanich Peninsula, And this is an opportunity for me to help create.
You're busy. Wow.
Right on. Yeah. So this wasn't, so I guess in short order, this is not just, hey, I haven't paid any attention to civic issues until now, and I'm just going to suddenly jump in. You've been involved in many ways in the community up to this point.
Many ways in Sydney, and my first job was a page at the legislature in Victoria.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Huh. Right on.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Last but certainly not least, we have Ryan Windsor, who is our mayoral candidate from Central Saanich, fresh back from a mayoral meeting this morning, I understand.
So he's got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff to say.
So first of all, I guess, tell us why you're running. And secondly, let us know how it went this morning at your mayoral event.
Oh, I appreciate that. They often say if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. And with respect to both of my colleagues here in Central Saanich, say for myself, I've never seen anyone work as hard as Niall. And I'm sure Aaron's doing equally as well in Sydney. And that's an enormously positive thing for me to see. It inspires me greatly. In terms of me running, I ran for council in a by-election last year. It was an incredibly close race, most competitive race I think I've ever seen in my life, save for the provincial result, which came a month later, which saw a three-way, almost statistical tie between three candidates. We were very close in our race as well. In the by-election, there were four of us that came a few votes apart, and I happened to be one of those two that was elected and immediately set forth moving the community forward. I'd seen a lot happen in that municipality that fractured the community, and I worked to repair those fractures and move forward in a positive step. I'm bolstered by the fact that I have two wonderful kids at home. And this is all about them as much as anything else. And also, I'm fortunate that I work in a family business, a winery on the Saanich Peninsula. It's actually right in Central Saanich. And
Which one is that?
That's Divine Vineyards up on Old West. Yeah. It's known for its view, and I've been out knocking on
doors.
Now,
if I had known that,
yeah,
we likely should have been meeting at dinner time.
I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, where's the wine? Yeah, I think we're just going to cut him off at this point.
Show me your special occasion permit and we'll bring it out.
Well, here we are. It is right now.
This is a special occasion.
Okay,
every episode is a special occasion.
I'm just seeing around two.
Pardon me?
I'm just seeing around two.
All right. I'm not averse to that.
After you guys all get elected, we'll come to the party.
Yeah.
If we're invited. Yeah. And Battle Royale this morning against your one competitor for mayor?
Well, Jack Maher and myself have he's identified some stark differences. He wrote or rather responded to an interview request in the PNR, and he's identified that he doesn't believe in workforce housing. And I'm
acute. What?
Well, that's what it says right here on page 9 of the Peninsula News Review, and I'm acutely aware that we need workforce housing to address the needs of young workers at Viking Air, Thrifty Foods, and a lot of business on Keating Crossroads. So to make such a stark statement, I think is...
Hang on. Okay, so he wants to see more traffic coming into the... up the highway every day? Like, isn't that kind of the alternative?
Well, listen, Paul. Here's the
sorry, I got my back up here.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Your shackles are going. Yeah. October 22nd, there's an article on page 9 in the Peninsula News Review, and it says, blah, 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 and Jack Maher does not necessarily believe in workforce housing. So
there's more to that there. This is always said that people choose to work out here and that the argument for workforce housing has never held water with me.
Yeah, well. I'm the executive director of the Sydney North Saanich Industrial Group, representing upwards of a dozen companies, manufacturing companies doing business on the peninsula. They're employing in the neighborhood of 25 to 3,000 employees, of which 20 to 25% actually live in the area, so 75% live elsewhere. Of that group that live elsewhere, half of them live in Langford. Almost all of them, if in a perfect world, would like to live closer to their work. It's not a right, but that's what they would like to do. And most of them are young people, your age, and so this is a shocking statement by this man. I hope that he's been misquoted. But nonetheless, it does reflect what you folks represent, is that generation that would like to live, work, and play in their area.
Well, and I think we've got young farmers. Jack is a farmer, and I respect his farming credibility. In the past, I have a lot of respect for that because he works hard. But young farmers need to have a place to live in the community, because we know the price of farmland
and farm here is out of reach. What this is about is about a sustainable community that includes economic opportunities. It includes places for young people to live and play and raise their families. John, this is so simple. Let's Aaron talk.
All right, Aaron.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talk about farming. I think we have a little bit of a chicken before the egg situation here. I'm not sure that we have the appropriate amenities and activities for the young families to keep them on the peninsula. I really think that we need to be looking at filling those holes, and then our demographic will naturally progress out to where we can live, work, and play within the neighborhood.
I agree with you. But in the course of 3 years of battling hard for workforce housing out in the region, mm-hmm. it's come back to me, responses have come back to me, indicating that, in fact, your research and data is wrong. There actually aren't people that want... These are not reflective of the employees. People don't want to live out there. There's not enough. And I'm going, wow, I don't know what else to say. You three can make a difference because you represent that age group.
Can I just say, and this is directed to Niall and Ryan, is Central Saanich the most screwed up place on the South Island? Like, and I apologize, I don't mean to be rude here, but, you know, it seems like...
But you are!
They can't decide! Central Saanich can't decide what they are, right?
And not Central Saanich, it's North Saanich.
No, but in Central Saanich, you have an agricultural component, you have an industrial component, and these two always seem to be at loggerheads. You're right smack in the middle of the ALR, right? So what is Central Saanich gonna be? What is it? And is this at the crux? Am I misreading this, or is this the crux of the debate?
I'll let Niall.
Niall,
Well, I'm gonna in a friendly way disagree with you. I don't think Central Saanich is
Please,
a screwed
I really have.
You
no
don't
idea.
Have to be friendly.
I don't.
We're not friendly on this show.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. go ahead, Niall.
I don't think Central Saanich is a screwed up place. I think, you know, Ryan, myself, and Aaron are here because we love our municipalities and we think we can do better. I'm extremely proud of the work that Ryan and his team on council have done in the past few years in the past while. They've made extreme leaps and bounds in making Central Saanich open for business in the Keating Industrial Park, and for creating and at least reviewing housing opportunities in the area. And there is more work to be done. As far as the balance there, I think it is a balance. I think that maybe to Jack's comment, you know, nobody wants to see the, you know, rural character of our municipality damaged in any way, but I don't think that that's the real issue here. I think it's about finding places within the municipality where, yes, we can accommodate our younger families and our aging demographic, such as the Polo Park development, and we can continue to do so and make a more robust, vibrant, and holistic community.
So I agree with you. From an outsider perspective, because I don't live in Central Saanich, but I have. I've lived there in the past. It strikes me that there's no clear direction in terms
people
of...
People have a notion of Central Saanich from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When people like this were in charge.
I lived there 30 years ago.
So that was a perpetual thing that continued until recently.
Okay.
Now we're addressing those needs, like Aaron has identified, the diversity of options available to people to play, to go kayaking in Brentwood Bay, to have a new park facilities for young families. We just built a park in Centennial Park, brand new one. I take my kids there. I see it chock-a-block with families on a daily basis. School lets out and the place is overrun. Clearly, there is a desire for those kind of facilities and amenities. We have to do it in a way that makes economic sense. We can't just go run around building playgrounds every 5 feet because, quite frankly, we'll wind up breaking the budget.
Yeah.
We have to be responsible in our management, and whether you're young or old, you pay taxes. You have to have an expectation that what you're being charged in taxation is commensurate with the needs of the community and is fair.
So, Ryan, let's assume that my prognosis was completely wrong.
It is now.
It is now. Okay.
And it's going to continue to be wrong if I'm elected mayor.
And I get that sense. And this is kind of where I'm leading, because it strikes me that maybe things are improving there and that there's a clear direction. And am I correct in assuming that you like this new direction that it's going and you want to continue, whereas your opponent sort of wants to live a little in the past? Would that be mischaracterizing?
I don't think so. Quite frankly, the OCP, if you read that document, it sets out some really interesting goals. I think one of two things happens. One, either it gets tangled up in itself, or two, people try and meet every single condition of the OCP on every single project.
Right.
It's a 180-page document. It includes 30 pages of planning maps. And frankly, it's impossible on every single project to meet every single objective of the OCP. That's not what an OCP is designed for. It's a guideline and a bylaw. It sets out the direction and tone of our community. Yeah. And I quite frankly don't think the tone and direction of our community was being met by the OCP we wrote.
Yeah.
So we wrote it 10 years ago and then didn't act on it.
Right.
So just to sort of...
Reel Paul in?
To sort of bring us back to the notion of youth and young candidates. Mm-hmm. Give us a sense out there, because you folks, I would take it, are networking with your peers. Why now? Why necessarily are younger people deciding we are going to get involved, we are going to use the existing process? Because there are young people who think the process doesn't work. And it's not that they're not involved. They're passionate about life.
I'll jump in here and actually say that one of the things that I found quite stark is you look at the statistics, and from 25 to 40, which is the age bracket that I'm in, and actually I congratulate Niall's generation more than my own. They've been much more engaged. The under 25 and the over 40 are definitely more engaged in the political process. Something happened in the generation between those currently at the age of 25 to 40 where they're just not voting. And
you sense that's changing, though.
Well, I'm trying to lead that change. At 35 years old, I'm cognizant that if I don't lead by example, I'm not doing anything to help the process. I can go and quietly vote, but I may not be giving them anything to vote for. I've sat for 18 months on council. Our mayor decided that he was going to step away. And in the leadership vacuum that was created, I took the time that was necessary to make a rational, reasonable choice, consult with people, and do what you should do as you're making life decisions, you know, and especially in that 25 to 40, because we're talking about people buying homes and all of that. You know, it's the same thing for me in making a decision to mayor. I had to take my time, but I made the decision. I provided the leadership, and I'm hoping that people in my age group will recognize that, they'll embrace it, and they'll embrace those things that we need to address.
Well, you folks are leaders, so they're clearly gonna follow you. Go on.
For me, the time is now because it's a 4-year term. We need to learn now from the people that are starting to step back so that we can eventually take over.
Right on.
And I think actually that Ryan really hit the nail on the head. It is a Gen X issue. There's a lot of messed up things with Gen X, not just grunge music. But
you're,
you know,
awfully provocative to this morning.
No. It's Gen X, and I got
to... Well, it's a little bit of Gen Y in there, too.
I'll tell you that, because millennial. I am Gen X, right? Yeah. But the millennials are far more keen to engage than in some cases, their parents, right?
I appreciate Aaron's point. You know, I've sat at that table, and I've seen leadership provided by other generations, and what I've done is I've combined my ideas with their ideas. And that's, I think, essential, because, you know, those who don't learn from the past are doomed to repeat it, and those who also learn from the wisdom of the past benefit enormously.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because there have been things that have been done that are right. There's been things put in place. And I think that Aaron really identified that, and I appreciate that point.
It's not really an issue of right or wrong.
No,
it's an issue of you folks are increasingly going to be paying the bills for people like me, and therefore, what is it that's important for your lives and for well-being? Go ahead, Aaron.
I'd just like to say that our generation and the older generation, which the Saanich Peninsula is built of, I think we have a lot of things in common as well. One of my things is what's good for strollers is good for scooters.
Good point.
So tell me what kind of experience, and maybe we'll start with Niall, what kind of experience are you having on the doorstep when you show up more youthful than most of the people who live in your municipality? Do people tell you, oh, you're way too young, you should go kayaking or something?
Great question, Paul, because that was...
So it's your question from last time.
Yeah,
so,
it was the Victoria City candidates we asked. The elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You're too young, you don't have enough experience, go away.
Yeah, I've had...
You've just opened the door to me.
Well, to that I always... My soundbite answer is always, I may be young, but my roots run deep. And that's what I say in Central Saanich, being born and raised there. I've been there for my entire life, and it's something that I feel like that gives me a particular perspective as a representative. And then, I mean, with that, too, I mean, I'm also a young homeowner, so I do have experience being a tax-paying homeowner at a young age. I saved up and bought my first house when I was 19. In saving up as well, I did own a landscaping business, so I do have an understanding of the needs and the demands of a business and what a municipality can do to help mitigate those demands and needs. And also, I think, you know, experience being on the Advisory Planning Commission in Central Saanich, looking at the scape of the municipality. And then, I mean, on the doorstep and in the community, you know, taking every opportunity possible to learn and get to know your neighbors. I mean, I really haven't had that response a lot. I thoroughly love door knocking, and I think it comes across when I'm door knocking. I want to chat to people, ask them why they chose Central Saanich, what issues they're facing, and what exactly they do love about the community and what we can do to make that better.
I want to say I appreciate Niall's perspective, and I think it's important that every demographic is represented, because there are a lot of young people in Central Saanich, young farmers, students attending the University of Victoria, young workers who are getting their first job at one of our many employers, and, you know, if things continue, there will be more employers moving to the Saanich Peninsula. And frankly, that perspective needs to be represented at the table. And so I recognize and embrace the wisdom that every single person brings to the table. And I only ask of them one thing, that they provide thoughtful and critical analysis of that which is before them. The mistake everyone will make if they don't provide thoughtful and critical analysis is that they're doing a disservice to the community by not really identifying the benefits or the potential costs of anything that comes before us at that table. So if it's an application to build a house, or if it's a new business, what are the benefits? What are the implications for residents? And can we make a really good decision if we have that thoughtful and critical analysis? I say absolutely. And so I believe Niall will bring that to the table, and I appreciate him running. Obviously, it's up to the voters to decide. That's what I'm hearing at the door. They want thoughtful, critical analysis. They want someone who will listen and engage them, hear their ideas, and not dismiss them. Mm-hmm. And I think Niall's good at that, and that's what I've tried to bring to the table. And I think Aaron will do that in Sydney, quite frankly.
Well, and that's so important. This goes back to my original thought, which was we need to have young people that are on councils and bring that voice, and you've obviously brought that voice for 18 months to Central Saanich. Because if you're only getting one side of the story, and there's a very big story to tell, then we're clearly not covering all the bases now.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, Ryan and Paul, one of my mentors told me as a piece of advice once, Niall, you have two ears, two eyes, and one mouth, and they should be used in that ratio and in that order. And I try to, you know, it's a process of listening, learning, and then stepping up into the spot where you can lead. And that's
well, as the only senior citizen on the panel here this morning, I come from that place where folks are saying young people, they don't have experience, how can they possibly make decisions? And I go to that person saying that we were young once, we made mistakes. By making mistakes, you become wiser. And frankly, I make mistakes every single day.
Well, but John,
every single day, and I try to learn from them.
There's new mistakes to make. If the rationale for continuing to do things the way that we've always done them because we're wise and older and we've learned how to do it. Well, what about the new challenges, right? Who's willing to tackle those?
The assumptive piece is wrong. I am not actually wiser.
Exactly.
Certainly older.
Exactly.
Aaron, I have experience.
Aaron, have you found this on the doorstep at all, or...?
Actually, I start my door knocking tomorrow. I've taken another approach. I've been having coffee meetings and putting it out there for people to come to me.
Nice.
And I've had a really positive feedback from all demographics, shaking my hand and thanking me for stepping up.
Great.
So I'm actually not worried about it. I think that we're only considered youth in politics. We are integrated, hardworking professionals within our communities.
Well, and that leads beautifully into my next question, which was, in the absence of a lot of media coverage, and it's always difficult in this region. When I ran years ago, it was difficult because even though local media, I think, tried harder back then, they're still dealing with, 162 candidates or something in this upcoming election? Mm-hmm. And so how does,
I think it's
for
over
example,
200, actually.
Is it over 200? Okay, yeah. So how does CFAX, for example, allow equal time to over 200 candidates and still keep their listenership, right? So so coffee parties is one. Aaron, do you have some other thoughts on that?
If we want to engage a new group of demographics, we can't be doing the same things over and over again. We have to look for new ways to engage our residents, not just during the election, but after we're elected and when we're making progress and creating action. I want my community to feel engaged and responsible and a sense of pride for what's going on in their community.
And Niall, do you have some thoughts on how to campaign when the media has less of a presence?
Absolutely. I mean, unless you want to go, you know, all Rob Ford out there and really put yourself on the map in a negative way, I do think that the, you know, small is beautiful in these municipalities. I think word of mouth is extremely important. I know Aaron's been big on this. Ryan's been big on this. I keep saying you need to motivate 10 friends who you think wouldn't normally vote, wouldn't normally get out to vote, and please encourage them to engage in civic politics, go to the town hall, and check out your municipal websites, and please engage as best as possible, because that's how we're going to make sure that the word gets out and that new blood gets onto council.
Aaron?
What I'd like to say to those people who don't think they should vote, if you think your voice is too small, try going to bed with a mosquito.
You got a lot of good lines.
To Niall's point, actually, it's a very good point about motivating 10 people, word of mouth, door knocking, these are all things. And I can't help but wonder, we're on a podcast here, so I'm going to say, at Niall Paul Thiel on Twitter, at EE_voice on Twitter, and at @eco_RyanWindsor on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, and you know what, I will use traditional means. And I will use social media, and if I have to, I'll go to the moon.
Sorry, did you say social media? I don't know what is that?
Social media.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, from the guy who organizes social media camp every year. Puts 1,000 people in the Victoria Conference Center.
So in an upcoming podcast, John and I are going to be talking about this very thing. In the absence of media, in a big way, like we've seen historically, although that's arguable, how do you compete in a campaign like this? So stay tuned, listeners, for an upcoming podcast after the election. We're going to go now. We've ran out of time. We're going to go now to concluding statements. We're going to go in reverse. And so we're going to start with Ryan. Why should people vote for you in Central Saanich, and how can people find out more about you?
Well, my website is ryanformayor.ca, and they can find me on Facebook and Twitter, as I've said. Here's an example. About 8 weeks ago, there was a development proposed along a road. It was going to involve a Nickel Brothers home being moved into the neighborhood, and there were going to be some changes to the site. And the residents had come out last year, there was a rezoning, but they hadn't been contacted, and council was trying to make a decision as to whether or not the community would accept this. And I thought the only way we can do this in the absence of another public hearing is to go knock on every single door in that neighborhood and find out their opinion, enlighten them with an unbiased, friendly chat about what's going on, and are they accepting of that change? And you know what I found? People were thankful, and I ran the gamut. People were young, they were more senior, and they all said the same thing. Thank you for coming to my door. Thank you for enlightening me to what's happening in our neighborhood.
And you know what? Frankly, we believe that this is an acceptable thing in our neighborhood, and we embrace it. And if you do that, if you do the work and you continue to engage after the election for 4 years, your feet should hurt, your knuckles should be bleeding, and you should feel like you've accomplished something. And that is what I brought over the last 18 months and would continue to bring over the next
4 years. So it's either the Iron Man or running for mayor.
They're not a different race. It's the same race.
I live in Saanich, and I'm voting for Ryan.
All right. Aaron Bremner, Sydney Council. Why should people vote for you, and how can they find out more about you?
Find out more about me at aaronbremner.ca. It's my job over the next few weeks to earn the trust and respect of the electorate in Sydney. Because I'm an action-oriented person already involved in the community, and I have a lot of ideas and energy and enthusiasm to bring to the table.
I live in Saanich.
Yeah.
And I'm voting for her.
Wow.
You
know what? I'm reporting you for electoral fraud, actually. That's what's happening after this show. All right. And finally, Niall Paltiel for Central Saanich Council. Why should the people of Central Saanich, not John, because he doesn't live there, why should the people of Central Saanich vote for you, sir?
Well, first off, I'll just let you know, you can check out my website, www.nialpaltiel.ca, also on Facebook and Twitter. And if that doesn't work, you can call, email, or stop me in the street. I want to be as accessible and open as possible. And I'm asking for one of your 6 votes for council. So please feel free to get in touch with me. And on any issue, I want to, at the very least, listen and hopefully be able to go to bat for you at the council table. Because after all, we are elected to represent. And I hope that you find my business and community experience and my common sense approach to local governance will serve you well in Central Saanich.
Well, I, for one, John, am pretty encouraged by these folks, even though they're not a whole lot younger than I am, but a whole lot younger than you, Mike.
We're going to have a... You're correct. We're going to... Because I am the founding
father of the love on this podcast.
But at some point, we're going to bring these elected officials back and try to get them to convince you to run out in the West Shore area.
Well, once they're elected, chances are they'll probably be advised by smarter... advisors not to come on our podcast.
I can't see that they can find smarter advisors. Thank you. Good luck. Make sure y'all vote November 15th.
November 15th.
And it's on the back of my business card if you need a reminder.
Awesome. Remember Thank Bremner you. This November.
Right on.
What? Those are great. Do you have one line?
Nile in November.
Okay, y'all. Take care.